What's up, everybody? This is the Locked On Yankees podcast, your daily podcast covering the New York Yankees. We're brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome to the show. I hope you enjoy it. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. I'm an author of Baseball Prospectus, and I'm the editor-in-chief of their Yankee site, BP Bronx. You can follow me on Twitter at the Locked On Yankees account or at my personal account, Stace Gotts. You can listen and subscribe to Locked On Yankees on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can also listen to the show on our website, Locked On Yankees. And finally, you can play the podcast on your smart speakers by saying, play podcast Locked On Yankees. As always, you can also email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. In today's episode of Locked On Yankees, we'll recap last night's wild card game victory. We'll look at individual performances, key at bats, key pitching sequences, and whatever else I can think of to go into. I will start this episode by saying this. I am very relieved that I get to recap and dissect a win instead of a loss. I will also admit that I'm very tired because the post-game show seemed to be on forever and I didn't get to bed until nearly 3 a.m. because of how amped up I was. I will also say I apologize for there not being a show yesterday. October 3rd is kind of a rough day for me personally, and I just couldn't get anything going, so I apologize for that. So let's dive into the recap of the wildcard game victory over the A's. So Severino got things started with a 1-2-3 inning in the first, which was already so much better than last year's wildcard game that it gave everyone a sense of, okay, it's going to be different this time. Thank goodness. So Andrew McCutchen opened up the bottom of the inning with a walk, which set us up for the first big moment of the game, Aaron Judge's two-run home run. Now, I'll say one of my favorite things to see is when a player hits a ball that's obviously a home run and the people behind the plate, well, some of them, jump out of their seats as soon as the ball leaves the bat, because that's what happened when Judge hit that ball last night. There was no doubt that ball was going out. And I have to say, the crowd was really great last night. Nice job. But I don't know about you guys, but that home run made me feel the same as I felt when Didi hit his first home run in Game 5 against the Indians last year. It just seemed to calm my nerves. And, you know, even though the Yankees were only up 2-0, against an A's team that's been known to suddenly explode for 6 or 7 runs in an inning at any given point, it just felt like the Yankees were going to win. Although I will also admit that when Gary Sanchez grounded into the double play in the second inning after the Yankees had first and second no outs, I was a bit perturbed and my nerves were a little frayed because I thought, oh God, this could be one of those moments that could come back to bite them in the butt, because they could have and they should have stepped on the A's throats at that point, but thankfully it didn't end up mattering. So Sevy got into a little trouble in the fourth after Andujar made a throwing error and Sevy ended up walking the bases loaded, but he got Marcus Semien swinging on a 99.6 mile per hour fastball to end the inning and the threat. He was pumped up, and that was good to see. Then he started off the fifth inning with back-to-back singles to Lou Croy and Nick Martini, and everyone knew that Boone's leash would be short and that Sevy's night would be done, but I wasn't expecting Dellin Betances, and frankly, I was worried about that. I'll say it right now, and I know that I'm not the only one who was worried about that, but Betances got Matt Chapman to line out to Judge. He got Lowry to fly out to shallow center field, so there was no way that anyone could score from third. And in what was probably the biggest at-bat of the night, Betances got Chris Davis to swing on what Baseball Savant has classified as a knuckle curve way outside to end the inning and to end that threat. In the bottom of the fifth, Andujar led off with a single, but the Yankees went down in order after that. And after that, Andujar was taken out of the game and replaced by Adeyemi Hechavarria. So Betances came out to pitch the top of the sixth, and I was second-guessing Boone again. Betances only threw 11 pitches in the fourth, but I fifth, not the fourth. And I was still worried, though, because of that whole second inning Betances thing that tends to happen. But we all had nothing to worry about because Betances was up to the task last night. He got Matt Olson to ground out. He struck out Stephen Piscotty swinging on another knuckle curve, according to Baseball Savant, off the plate, and Ramon Laureano was called out on strikes to end the inning. So that was an A-plus performance from Betances. Nice job. Now, the bottom of the sixth, Bob Melvin went to Fernando Rodney for some strange reason. Has he never seen Rodney pitch against the Yankees? Because he's not always great. And and he wasn't last night. By the time his third batter came to the plate, who was Stanton, the Yankees had already scored a run on back-to-back doubles by Judge and Aaron Hicks. And as Stanton was out of the plate, at the plate, Rodney uncorked a wild pitch, which put Hicks at third with no outs. So I guess Melvin had seen enough then, and he went to Blake Treinen in the middle of Stanton's at bat. I really can't speak today. Coming into this game, Blake Treinen's ERA was like zero. He had an incredible year. He had been lights out, and it just seemed like the Yankees didn't care because Stanton ended up working a walk after what turned into a pretty lengthy at bat, and then everyone's new favorite player, Luke Voit, came up to the plate. He also worked a long at bat against Treinen. He was fouling off pitches, and on the ninth pitch, Voit hit a ball that just missed going out of the ballpark by mere inches, and it just missed being Jeffrey Mayer'd by some idiot in right field. Instead, it turned into a two-run triple that put the Yankees up 5-0. I don't know what they were thinking when they built the new stadium and didn't put a bigger barrier between the people in the outfield and the outfield wall. They really need to do something. We're like 10 years into this now, and they need to put probably like a row of plants like they have in the bleachers for some reason. I don't know. They did that backwards. They should have put the plants on the outfield wall and done something different with the bleacher walls. So please do something about that, because I'm sick of seeing these idiots reaching over the wall trying to get balls in play. And, you know, those people should be thrown out of the stadium, honestly. Like, it should be like a no-tolerance thing. Like, once you do that, bye, you're gone for the game. Ugh. So anyway, Gregorius came up next, and he hit a fly ball to Nick Martini that wasn't too deep. But Voit, you know, ran home, and Martini's throw beat him. But Voit was called safe because he kind of slid around home plate and around Lucroy. The A's challenged it, and they had reason to, because it looked like Lucroy got him. But for some reason, the replay video was inconclusive. They didn't really have enough to overturn it, because you couldn't really tell from any angle if Lucroy actually touched Voit before Voit touched the plate. And I don't know, maybe that they should have higher tech cameras at all the stadiums that are just for replay or something, so you can like zoom in and see. Because if you're just using the TV cameras, you can't see anything. You really can't. And I'm saying this as a Yankee fan, because there were at least three or four times when replay screwed the Yankees and the umps upheld shitty calls. So, you know, I could see the A's having a beef with it, but I can also see how it was inconclusive, because if you saw the video replay, you really couldn't tell. So they didn't have enough to overturn it. But anyway, Voit scored the touchdown. The Yankees were up 6-0. In the top of the seventh, David Robertson came in to pitch, and he gave up a really hard hit ball to Semien, who was straight up robbed by Echeverria, who climbed the ladder to snatch a live line drive away from him. I mean, as soon as he hit that ball, I was like, oh boy. And then Echeverria just jumped, reached up, perfect timing, snatched that ball out of the air, and it was amazing. He was brought in to spell Andujar on defense, and that was definitely the right call. So D-Rob ended up pitching a 1-2-3 inning, and after the Yankees went down in order in the bottom of the inning, things got interesting in the eighth. So Zach Britton came in with a 7-0 lead, and after giving up a single to Matt Chapman, Jed Lowrie grounded into what could have been a double play, and it was called a double play at first, even though everyone with working eyes could see that Lowrie was safe at first by about 2 feet. The ball was hit too slow for the Yankees to turn to, and Lowrie kind of hustles there. He's a little pain in the butt. So the umps were just not having a great night. And don't get me started on Jim Wolf, who was behind the plate, and his ever-changing strike zone, which seemed to screw with Severino. Anyway, I digress. The A's rightly challenged the call at first, and it didn't take the guys in Chelsea very long to correct Greg Gibson's bad call at first. So the A's had a runner on first with one out. And in stepped Davis, who hit a line drive home run into the short porch to make it 6-2. Not a big deal. And not surprising. Chris Davis had, what, he finished with 48 home runs in the regular season. So you kind of felt like he would probably have a home run at some point in the game, and it just so happened then. But after that, Britton got Olsen to ground out. He walked Piscotty on 4 pitches, but then he got Laureano to ground out to end the inning. So Blake Treinen was still in the game in the bottom of the eighth when Stanton led off. And then Stanton hit a 443-foot bomb off him, and his night was done. So the Yankees went up 7-2. That's how it would end. Aroldis Chapman came in to pitch the ninth, and after giving up a leadoff single, he got Lucroy to strike out on a foul tip. Mark Canna, is that how you say it? I think that's how you say it. To strike out, he got him to strike out swinging, and then he got Matt Chapman to ground out to Neil Walker, who threw the ball to Chapman, not Matt, and Chapman covered first. The Yankees won. Hooray. So now the Yankees will be facing the Red Sox. Woo! Up next, we'll look at key at-bats, pitching sequences, and other good stuff. But first, let's start this segment off by looking more in-depth at Severino's start. We'll break down his pitches and everything. So, he threw 87 overall. He threw 36 fastballs, 4-seamers, 37 sliders, and 14 change-ups. He got 4 swinging strikes on the slider, 2 on the fastball, 1 on the changeup. He got 6 called strikes on the fastball, 8 on the slider, 2 on the change. The fastball generated 13 foul balls, the slider 6, and the changeup 4. And the changeup didn't yield any balls in play. The fastball and the slider yielded 4 each. So his average velocity on the fastball was 98. It was 87.7 on the slider, 89.5 on the changeup. His minimum velocity on the fastball was 96, and his maximum was that 99.6 mile an hour pitch to end the inning in the fourth. So his slider was working well for him. And, you know, when his slider is working well, he will have a good outing. when you see guys going after pitches that are completely out of the zone, it's swinging badly at them, you know that his night is going well. And I have to say, Gary Sanchez did a really nice job behind the plate last night. Both Severino and Betances were throwing balls that could have easily gone through his legs, gone past him for some reason, and he really did a solid job defensively behind the plate. He also did a great job calling the game as well. So let's give it up to Sanchez for that. You know, he may not have had a great night at the plate, but he did a really nice job managing the pitching staff, and that was big. Very big. Now, Betances, in his two innings of work, he threw 25 pitches. He threw 15 of those knuckle curves, 8 fastballs, and 2 sliders. He got 5 swinging strikes on the curve, 3 called strikes. He got 2 called strikes on the fastball. He generated 2 foul balls on the curve, 1 on the fastball, none on a slider. 1 ball in play on that curve, 2 on his fastball. Now, his velocity, his average for the fastball was 98.3. He went up to 99.2, and his minimum was 97.5. His velocity average on that curve, the knuckle curve, was 85.6, and his slider was 88.5. Again, he did a really nice job as well last night. Nice and surprising. Very pleasant surprise. And then David Robertson came in. He only had to throw 12 pitches. And he threw, according to Baseball Savant, this is what I'm looking at right now, he threw 9 cutters. Does that even sound right? And 3 knuckle curves. Britton threw nothing but sinkers, according to Baseball. Wait a minute. This can't be right. Hold on. Let's look at Zach Britton. He pitched nothing but sinkers? Is that possible? I mean, I was watching him last night. Huh. That is interesting. Let me look at this again. I'm doing this as I'm recording, which is kind of annoying. I know. I'm sorry. And then Chapman threw 10 fastballs, 5 sliders, 2 sinkers. I'm really intrigued on this Zach Britton thing. I'll have to look more into this for tomorrow because that's not something I, wow. Now I will look at, the exit velocity of, where is it? Stanton's home run, because yes, it was 443, and the exit velocity on that ball was 117.4 miles an hour. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, David Adler, who I believe he works for MLB, he told Stanton after the game that his home run was the highest exit velocity in the playoffs so far, since StatCast started keeping track of this stuff. And Stanton was like, cool. He's like, now I can try and hit harder than that. Which is awesome, and hopefully he will, because he seems to like hitting in Fenway. So that'll be fun to watch. I can't believe I'm actually, like, right now, maybe it's because it's only Thursday and the game isn't until tomorrow night, but I am pretty calm right now heading into this series with Boston. which is very strange for me because I'm usually like a nervous wreck for days leading into a series. But I don't know. I just have this wave of calm rushing over me. But we'll see how I feel tomorrow. I will do an in-depth preview of tomorrow's game and the series. But I will say this. Cora better not start Price in game 3. I think he would need to start him in game 2. Go with Sale on Friday. Go with Price on Saturday. And then go with Porcello in Yankee Stadium on Monday. Because Price cannot pitch against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. He falls apart. I mean, I would love for him to start in Yankee Stadium. And I would love for the Yankees to tee off on him. But I think that, you know, after this season and seeing how much better Price has performed against them in Fenway, I think that's what you're going to see. You'll see Hap Sale tomorrow. Actually, you know what? I think Tanaka should start game 2 and then Seve go game 3 at home. Now, Tanaka hasn't had a great year against the Red Sox. He only really had one good-ish start, where he held them to one run, but he only lasted like 4 2/3, and the Yankees ended up losing the game anyway. But other than that, Tanaka's been pretty much beat up by the Red Sox all season, so I don't know. That's kind of tough, too. There's kind of like a draw between Price and Tanaka, so that'll be interesting to see. But again, I'll go more in depth on that tomorrow. Up next, we will talk about some post-game quotes from the players and Aaron Boone. But first, so there were some pretty good sound bites last night. Like I said in the beginning of the episode, the post-game felt like it was on forever. And it was. I don't think it ended until, was it 1:30 at least? Something like that. It was really late. But there were some good quotes from the players and from Aaron Boone. And there was an interesting quote that I saw earlier from Fernando Rodney, who admitted that he felt the game was probably over when Judge hit the home run, which is shocking because it was the first inning. And like I said, the A's were one of those teams where, you know, they could be down like 5-0 in a game. And then all of a sudden in like the 6th or 7th, whoever they were facing against, I think they may have done that against the Astros in one of the games. They scored like 6 or 7 innings and then they went on to win. So I'm kind of shocked by that admission from Rodney. Aaron Judge, of course, was very talkative last night because he had the big home run and he scored on Aaron Hicks's double and he had an all-around good night. So he told reporters that he was already excited from the national, like at the point that where the national anthem was played. And he said that after Severino went 1-2-3, he said he knew after that that it was going to be a good first inning. And then he said that Cutch's at bat was fantastic and that it had allowed him to see a couple of pitches. So he was able to hit that home run against Hendricks. And Brett Gardner, who came in for defense late in the game, talked up Seve and his performance. He said, that's why Seve pitched tonight. He's been our ace all year, and like a lot of other guys on this team, he's had a share of ups and downs, but when the lights come on, he wants the ball. He said, getting out of that first inning was huge, and Judge putting us on the board just set the tone. which is what I said earlier. Aaron Boone made me laugh in his post-game press conference because, you know, the writers were questioning him about taking Severino, when he took Severino out, how he went to Betances so early. And Boone said, "Dellen's just a stud." And the way he said it, I don't know, it just cracked me up. And Betances told, who was he talking to, Michael Kay or Meredith? One of them on the post game. He said that Boone had told him before the game to be prepared to come in if Severino ran into trouble. I think he said he didn't know if he would have to pitch a second inning, but that he was prepared to do whatever he needed to do in order for the Yankees to win the game. And he said that he had been waiting for that moment for a long time. He said, but this is Betances, "When you come in for that situation, you have to make pitches. They're a great team with great hitters. I got the middle of the order, so I just tried to do my job and make pitches." And did he ever? So that was so important. Luke Voit is just happy to be a Yankee, happy to be in this scenario of playing a wild card game and winning it to make it into the ALDS. And that triple that he hit was the first of his career. And Judge was joking about Voit, saying that he was sniffing a triple all the way. And he said that maybe Voit was a little gassed on the sack fly, but he got in and scored. That video review, by the way, was 2 minutes and 19 seconds, which isn't terrible because I think there have been longer replays than that. But I will say that I had seen articles leading into the wild card game, and there was one that said that the A's were looking ahead or looking past the Yankees. You don't do that. You don't. And the A's are a team with a history of not winning in the postseason of late. I believe they're 4-9 in their last 13 elimination games, and they've now lost 8 in a row. So when I saw that headline, I was like, what are they thinking? Now, I didn't say much leading into the game because I've learned my lesson about trash talking before anything happens. You trash talk after the games, people. You don't do it beforehand. And I saw plenty of people who, you know, A's fans were like, the A's are going to destroy the Yankees. And, you know, and that like got me nervous. I'm like, oh God, they really could. Because, you know, if you look at the two teams, one was 100 wins. The other was 97 wins. Although the A's have slowed down a little bit toward the end of the season. And the Yankees were kind of peaking at the end of the season. But, you know, it really could have gone either way. But it didn't, thankfully. So anyway, I just thought that it was kind of hilarious because the whole world seemed to be rooting against the Yankees and rooting for the A's. And there were a lot of angry people on Twitter last night, which made me laugh. They were also really pissy about the replay at home. And like I said earlier, that play was really inconclusive. You couldn't tell from the camera angles. You couldn't tell in the slow-mo. Things were too blurry. So if that's what the replay umps were looking at, there was no way that they could overturn that. So, you know, it's not a whole, oh, the Yankees get the right calls and the A's didn't. If it went the other way, I would say the same thing. It was inconclusive. You know, other way meaning if it was a play at the plate with the A's, I would have agreed the same way. There was no way you could overturn that. Anyway, here's some little tidbits, and then we will end the episode. Neil Walker and Andrew McCutchen became the first players to appear in 4 wildcard games. That's interesting. I didn't even realize that. I forgot about Neil Walker being on the Pirates and them playing wildcard games. Voit hit 333 with 14 home runs in the regular season. And then last night, as I said, he missed that home run by inches. Stanton was very happy to get that home run out of the way. He said he talked about how the stadium was crazy and that it was everything he expected and more. And I'll say this. I know some people who went to the game. They were sitting by the A's bullpen, and they said that the guys in the A's bullpen were kind of like egging on the fans in the left field bleachers, telling them they weren't loud enough or whatever, I guess before the game or just as the game was starting. And I bet those guys in the A's bullpen feel really silly right now. So the crowd in Yankee Stadium wanted Boston, and they got them. And Betances said that the feeling was mutual with the team. He said, "There are rivals. Baseball wants this. The fans want this. And we do too. So giddy up, everyone. You're getting a 5-game Red Sox-Yankees series." Whew. So that'll be it for today's episode. This is Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I have been your host, Stacey Gottsoulias. You can follow me on Twitter at my personal account, Stace Gotts. You can also follow me on the Locked On Yankees account. You can email questions or comments to lockedonnyy@gmail.com. You can also rate this podcast on Apple and on Google, and subscribe at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher. And if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast. Let me know how I'm doing and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. So enjoy this day off, everyone, because everything will be totally different tomorrow.